Chocolate sauce.
I'm eating cheese.
Also good. Not as a Pop-Tart, though.
Arousing!
Hey, this is Dave Brenner from Theory of a Dead Man, and you're listening to This Week in Geek.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks.
Welcome to This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network. This is episode 21. Yes, we are all old enough to drunk cast around here. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as usual, is Birdman Dodd. Hello.
Yes! Hello! For once, fire alarms are not going off in my building. To find out what I'm talking about, you're going to have to listen to Terrible Warriors at the beginning of the season. But anyway, immediately to my not right anymore, because he's not here...
Dead silence, Alex.
Talk about a homicidal hamburger. All right. And of course, we have Mr. Tristan. Hello, sir.
The Pop-Tart with a shotgun in the flesh. Right. Hello, hello.
By the way, Tristan, I wanted to mention this to you. We almost delivered Pop-Tarts to your door last week. I actually texted Lee. I'm like, what's Tristan's apartment number? I got a present for him.
I knew that's what that was about.
Fuck! Yeah, I went and picked
up. I got a text from someone that said that Mike wanted to know which apartment was yours. I'm like, it's fucking Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, we were going to knock and run.
You wait, man. One day you're going to have Pop-Tarts on your fucking door.
And then I went, but that's $2 if somebody else steals them.
Oh, boy.
Does the phrase, go suck a lemon, hold any meaning for you?
All right, folks. Yes, we are here to talk about all the news you nerds want to know. But first, we have some...
random news notes.
So, we come to you once again, folks, with, as always, sad news, because everybody dies. The Rhinestone Cowboy, Glenn Campbell, has passed away. So
I don't feel... like, I don't know. I've heard the song Rhinestone Cowboy once in my life, maybe.
Have you heard any of the Beach Boys songs?
Yes. Not very many that I can name,
he was a
though.
Session recorder for most 60s pop and rock groups that were super popular, and his name was never credited.
He was part of who he is.
He was part of the Wrecking Crew, which was a group of... a group of session recorders that recorded on everything that wasn't the Beatles or British groups.
So basically anything that's based out of the U.S., more or less.
Yes, and specifically anything Capitol Records or out in California. So, like, okay. he it could be that, or it could be something random like hard rock, whatever it was in that late 60s time period. So they played jazz, they played everything, and then he became this big solo artist.
Yeah. Okay.
Think of him in the beginning, and I know this is going to be a bad comparison, everybody's going to hate me for this. Think of him as the 60s version of either Tommy Mottola or Mutt Lange. Obviously, Tommy Mottola was not a musician himself. He was a manager, but that's the way Alex is describing Glenn's early work is how I...
Yeah, it was like, we have a band that we're trying to push because they're a new pop group, and the big thing is... we have to have all these groups that look like the Beatles. Basically, it was like boy bands and stuff, right? Except for the Beach Boys. That was a different case. They would go, okay, well, our musicians in this band that we formed are terrible, but we don't care because when they go live, nobody's going to care that they sound bad live. So they would have other people record for them on the album pretending it was them. And that's what he was part of. And I only found that out by watching the movie, The Wrecking Crew, in theaters. It was a documentary about them. Mm-hmm. And I got a bigger appreciation for him because I always thought, I'm like, he's just a country guy. And I don't care for that kind of crap, to be honest. And then I found out all the different things he played on. And I'm going, oh, no, he was just super talented. He just liked country music.
Yeah, it's kind of like... I guess this got lost on me as a kid, but apparently, you know, I didn't find out until the American Idol days that Randy Jackson was part of Journey.
Are you serious?
I didn't know that until 2001.
I didn't know that until right now.
Me neither.
And then Alex brought us a dinosaur of a death story.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, you know how Godzilla. Well, surprise, surprise, it's a guy in a suit, right? Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Well, until recently. Right now, it's all CG. But for the first, I don't even know how many movies, it was probably the first...
I think it was the first eight,
I was going to say seven or eight films. The guy that portrayed Godzilla just passed away. I would have figured that guy would have been dead years ago. Because that, you know...
The Japanese live forever, man. Well,
I was going to say, the movie's from 54, and if you look at pictures from back then, the guy looked old then.
So, apparently he played Godzilla in 13 films.
Is it 13 of them?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. That's quite the filmography. Oh, he was 88. Okay. But still, it's kind of crazy when you... Like, I've been reading a little more articles on it, and it's like the suits that he used to have to wear were over, like, hundreds of pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking upwards of 200 pounds that you have to walk around in. Could you imagine how much you'd sweat in there, and there's, like, no... spots to breathe, so you'd be filming all day, dehydrating, and you could lose like 10 pounds just being inside of that thing.
Oh yeah, like I've got such a massive respect for any of the tokusatsu or any of the like Sentai people when they do their stuff for Power Rangers or Kamen Rider. Man, massive respect to walk around in the monster costumes, because jeez, those things do not look comfortable or that they breathe well at all.
Especially in his day, where this is before you know,
the fans and everything built in.
Well, yeah, and before latex, before the light rubbers that are breathable. Like, it's like he's in the day where you'd make it out of plaster, or you'd make it out of, like, it wouldn't even be a hard rubber. It could be like some sort of cement. So it's like wearing a house.
It's crazy. I can only imagine all the sweat, how you'd have to drain that.
Think about this. You're shooting 8 hours of scenes. How do you pee?
Yeah,
you're already soaked in sweat. I'd assume you just kind of go.
You probably
just let her go.
You probably just wore a diaper. Like, to be honest, it's not even like a joke. There's no way to get out of that, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's not like, you know, you have a filtration system when you're drunk in Iron Man 2.
I'm guessing, you know, Indian food would have been off the table. Well,
Indian food, Pop-Tarts, who knows?
So.
I have a bad joke I want to make, but I won't.
We'll save that for the end.
Yeah. I'll save it for the end.
The other end.
Or should I say it now? I'm going to say it now. Third H-bomb went off in Japan when he was filming, probably.
Oh.
Because of the whole poop explosion how bad it would smell, and them having H-bombs. And
I hope he haunts you.
Yeah, I hope he haunts you too. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break.
So get your shit together.
Birdman's Breakdown.
All right, folks. So as a member of the press, I got very privileged. Big thank you to Netflix for giving me access to the big thing everyone's hopefully going to be talking about come this Friday, August 18th. That is Marvel's Defenders, bringing Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist together in the same series for the first time for an 8-episode limited event series, as they've been advertising it. And, well, you might be asking, well, Mike, the press has been given access to the first 4 episodes. Some outlets have been given access to the full series. I'm looking at you, Entertainment Weekly, you bastards. But I've seen the first 4 episodes. You might be asking, Mike, is it good? In a word? Yeah, actually. And I think this is something Marvel could actually kind of learn from when they start doing other series coming out, because we've got season 2 of Jessica Jones coming out next year.
You got The Punisher, I want to say, coming out in the spring. I think Daredevil's been greenlit. Basically, every Marvel show has been greenlit for a second season. Not so sure about Iron Fist and Luke Cage. I think so, but don't quote me on that. But back to the Defenders. So this picks up a couple of months after the end of Iron Fist. And basically, the first episode catches you up to what everybody's been up to. Without going in the specifics, it's about what you'd expect. And you do get some answers to stuff that goes all the way back to the beginning of Daredevil, which I actually think was rather cool. They were able to bring back and answer a lot of kind of plot threads in the first four episodes for questions we've been asking during the entire series, and even some stuff I didn't expect them to necessarily touch upon either. I'd say by far my favorite part of the Defenders so far is actually Jessica Jones. I think Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones does a fantastic job. In fact, out of all the MCU shows, hers was probably my favorite next to Daredevil, all things considered. But once they bring the team together, you get some wonderful chemistry. There's some great one-liners and moments between the characters. And this is, it's kind of, I like how it's a I like how it's an Avengers for the small screen. And it definitely works with less episodes. As I mentioned earlier, doing less with more, or doing more with less, is something Marvel could do. Because some of these series get stretched out to 13 episodes and they peter out. And you look at Iron Fist is a great example. They didn't necessarily have enough story to go for 13 episodes, and at the end it was Evil Businessman as the bad guy, and Iron Fist sucked, without mincing words here. And even some of the Daredevil stuff, could they have trimmed it up? Yeah, they probably could have dropped one or two episodes and it would have made for a much tighter narrative. Here, they do not have the luxury of 13 episodes to drag things out. They have 8 episodes to make a cohesive single storyline, so they're not wasting a lot of time with the Defender stuff. If anything, could they trim up maybe 20 minutes here and there? Maybe a little bit, but nothing feels truly wasted. Even a character like Danny Rand, aka Iron Fist, who was downplayed in importance, actually let me reverse that. He's upplayed in importance in this, and it doesn't feel cheesy. It doesn't feel like he's being overused. Every character gets their moment to shine here, and that's something that I really appreciate here. And how they bring the characters together feels very, very, very natural. When everybody's on screen at the same time, it's a magical moment. It's truly a moment worthy of a panel in a Marvel comic, which I think is tremendously cool. So overall, the first four episodes of The Defenders, well worth a watch. I think the rest of the series is going to be a real winner. I can't wait to see who the big bad guy is and who they are from the comics. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens. So The Defenders, you can see the full series on Netflix beginning this Friday, August 18th. Highly recommend you check it out. If you haven't checked out the previous series yet, realistically, you could skip Iron Fist. I know there's an article on IO9 that sums up everything you need to know about Iron Fist, so I'll make sure Mike includes that article here if you want to check it out. And yeah, that's pretty much about it. So that's Birdman's Breakdown for Netflix's The Defenders.
Let's hurry up and get to the lobby and grab those drinks, popcorn, candy, and more while we give you some
movie news.
So, what's that mouse up to now, Alex?
Well, Hollywood Reporter, as well as other sites, have a story that Disney is going to pull all their films from Netflix in favor of their own streaming service. It's not really a surprise that a big corporation is trying this again, seeing as CBS is doing CBS All Access, but it's almost as if every content creator is trying to create their own internet channel, I say with air quotes, that nobody can see. Great. and instead of going with a la carte, you know, normal channels that you'd have through a cable provider that, you know, people wanted a la carte forever, where you just pick and choose whatever channels you want, this is basically it. Only thing is, instead of paying a dollar per channel, you're going to, if you want Disney, you're going to have to pay $7.99. And then if you want CBS programs, it's another $7.99. So you end up paying, in the long run, you're going to end up paying more money for all the shows that you want, in the States at least. You know, other parts of the world, these sorts of, like, all the Disney products are going to be part of Netflix still. It's just the States they're pulling it. I don't think it affects the, like, the Marvel stuff.
They're trying to negotiate that because the Marvel, or because the Marvel CEO came out and said,
don't they co-own them?
Kind of, like I said, this was like late breaking after they announced it. They're like, yeah, we're still in negotiation to keep the Star Wars and the Marvel movies as part of an agreement to be complementary to the Disney Channel acquisition or the Disney Channel streaming stuff, because they haven't announced anything about it.
No, and if you look at it, I think it's going to follow a similar thing to what CBS did, because the CBS All Access shows are showing up in Canada either on terrestrial TV or on Canadian Netflix or Crave. So, and I'm assuming the way it works in the rest of the world is every other country has their own little streaming services, but they are really insignificant in, compared to Netflix itself. So it's
odds are we'll get it.
Yeah.
Because it is Disney. Although one of the questions that I have about this streaming service is how far into the back catalog are they going to go? Now, if you told me it would include every Disney Channel show, every Disney Channel XD, and everything Disney from 1930 forward.
Yeah, like all those Disney classic archive things that they had DVDs of and all that, the shorts and everything.
Yeah, like if you told me that, hey guys, this is going to cost you $8 a month or whatever, I'm paying that right away. You know why? That's a babysitter.
Well,
you
for
just
parents.
Bought a babysitter.
Well, especially, and or even for somebody who wants to see something that's super rare, like I want to watch the 1950s Zorro TV show for historical reasons or to compare it. You know, let's say somebody like us, maybe we want to run a podcast on all the Zorro media. Well, there's that 90s Zorro show that A&E put out on DVD years ago, which is the one that most of us would remember seeing, that half-hour action show. But before that, there was the 1950s Disney show, which was put on DVD on one of their, I think it was from the Disney store you could buy it, but you couldn't even buy it on Amazon. And now they go for like $600 or $700 a season.
It's ridiculous. And it's such a good show, too. It was so much fun. But yeah, I mean, if you told me they'd include complete series of, say, the Little Mermaid TV show, which you can't buy. If you told me they include DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, in HD quality, or at least better than like broadcast quality.
All the episodes of Gargoyles, the ones that aren't even available.
If you told me, okay guys, we're going to include the Mickey Mouse Club, every single episode, you can see early Britney Spears, early Justin Timberlake. People will buy it for that alone.
Yeah.
Like, it's nutty to think Disney has taken it this long. And I'm 90% sure on this show, I said 3 years ago, Disney needs to do this because it's a license to print money.
Think about rebroadcasts of the Mousetrapiece Theater episodes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. There's so much rich material there. Plus, if you could find a way for them to bring over, say, if they had a section on Netflix where they took some of their special features from some of their Blu-rays that were documentaries. All the Disney documentaries, too. There's crap tons of those.
You know, while that's all big and good, it brings into question, is this what every content creator is going to do, is have their own separate service in the States? If they fragment it that far, it's not really going to affect Netflix that much, because they have long-term contracts for some of the older content and they have their own you know, original creations. But they're going to nickel and dime the consumer with everybody. I want Disney and I want HBO and I want to watch Star Trek, so I need CBS. I need Hulu so I can watch this, and it's going to add up to be like $200 a month.
And I've said this before, there's only two things I currently pay for. I pay for Netflix and Hulu. On Netflix, it's pretty much as always, the $9.99 plan. On Hulu, I pay, I think, $12 for ad-free. The only other service I've paid for that I've been interested to even do it is the new Vivid Boomerang. HD. No, is the new Boomerang streaming service for all the classic Boomerang Looney Tunes and all that stuff.
And I know people that subscribe to Crunchyroll and for the anime stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, currently I pay for Netflix. I used to pay for Hulu before it got VPN blocked. I have a comp account through Funimation. And I used to get FX Now, once again, before it got geo-blocked. I used to have a lot of the U.S. services before they got geo-blocked. Yes, I also have Crave, which is which I don't think is advertised nearly as much as it should be, because it's a wonderful service.
For the American listeners, Crave is, think Hulu and Netflix rolled into one, in that it's owned by it's Bell and Rogers now, because Show Me died. But it's owned by the cable provider companies as well as the television channels, which are also owned by the cable provider companies. And they also have the back catalog for all the HBO stuff. Nothing that's currently airing, just stuff that's already older, let's say like The Sopranos. But then they have some new creations of their own, similar to how there's Hulu Originals or Amazon Originals or Netflix. And actually, I have Amazon Prime. I didn't, because I forgot that that's even a service we get here. PrimeVideo.com.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
So I'll have to watch American Gods sometime.
Yeah. All right, so Goldberg is busted again. Apparently.
For roids?
No.
Ron Goldberg?
No.
Goldberg.
And I don't mean the wrestler either. The guy, Sean Weiss, who played Goldberg in the Mighty Ducks movies, just 12 days after getting out of jail for...
Is that the one that looks like Dodd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah. he's back in for using meth, apparently.
Also, he is just like Dodd.
Oh yeah, total meth head. That's how I roll.
I'm like, oh
no,
God.
You roll on Molly.
Or Molly.
So yeah, the goalie's out, folks. Open net.
Which it sucks, because this was a kid who was starting to get his life back together. Because I know he got busted a couple years ago, I think, for assault. Theft.
Yeah, well, this time he was going to be in jail for 150 days for petty theft. He was released, according to his manager and according to the TMZ article, he was released due to overcrowding. And then the next time, this meth bust just 5 days after he got released is what put him back in. And he had said at one point that he was hoping jail would help him turn his life around. So
maybe it will now.
Yeah,
maybe it will.
You know what?
Who knows?
It's making me think that we need an Expendables-type movie, only with all the scumbags from previous child shows and movies. So you have him, you have...
Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin. Dustin Diamond.
Elijah Wood, although he did clean himself up. They're led by fucking Eddie Furlong.
Exactly.
Because that kid's a disaster.
just, you know, make it the Expungibles or something. Give him some weird name.
Use the Expungibles, they have to put a starfish. Well, yeah, the Deplorables. If they use the Expungibles, you have to put in a sponge and a starfish in there somewhere.
Yeah, that works. But I would totally watch a movie where it's just them going out in town and then ODing and dying.
Oh, God. It's like an Entourage movie, but with a sad ending.
I'm just thinking, like, could you imagine the poster?
No. Just not imagine the poster.
You take pleasure in human misery.
He does.
They're like a walking, walking poster for, don't do drugs, like, or you could just put them on cigarette packages or something.
It's like, you're a horrible person, Alex. I'm just pointing this out.
Entire movie would be like, this is the end, but everybody's Michael Cera.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know anymore, folks. Let's.
Do you think they have? Do you think they have a full set of teeth amongst all of them?
Oh, okay, we're switching the channel now. We'll be
might
back.
Own a
we're
full set of teeth.
But they might not be any of their own. They might have just found them.
Hey guys, I got another one.
Does it fit? Let me try. It's mine. It's like bum
plates.
I'll
put it in the pile.
Okay, it's time to switch the channel over to the TV stuff, folks.
TV news.
The things I'm forced to put up with.
Apparently, Kit happens, everybody. Yes, I'm going first because Alex has done enough talking already. David Hasselhoff has come out and said that there's going to be a new Knight Rider series. He's getting buffed up for it, yada, yada, yada. Until I see a full press release, I don't believe a thing the guy says. I've been a fan of... I met David Hasselhoff when I was 6 years old. I have pictures to prove it, but it's one of those things where almost 10 years ago... Well, next year it'll be 10 years since NBC did the reboot Knight Rider, the 2008 Knight Rider with the Mustang and Justin Bruning and all that. That show was okay. It was better than Team Knight Rider, so there is that. But I just think Hasselhoff is too old at this point to actually play the action star Michael Knight character. Now, if they want to do something with him where it's he is like Michael is taking over the Devin Miles role where he's kind of like the boss behind the scenes kind of thing, that would be fine. But there's no way in hell this guy is going to be, you know, jumping out of cars and turbo boosting over whatever the hell.
Couldn't he be the voice of Kit?
He'll break his goddamn hip. You can't replace Mr. Feeny.
But you could.
Technically, you can't replace. Yeah, you could replace William Daniels. They did. They actually tried to do it with Will Arnett, but with his contract with somebody else, that didn't happen. And then they used Batman. They used Val Kilmer as the voice of Kit in the 2008 series.
That's right.
So technically, they would be using double Batman because Will Arnett is Lego Batman.
That's true. Well, originally for the 2008 series, it was going to be Will Arnett, and then he had some contract with some other company that conflicted with it, and that's why they went ahead and got Val Kilmer.
They could just use the Microsoft Sam voice and then just credit it to Hawking and starring Stephen Hawking.
No.
That'd be awesome. I want Professor Hawking as Kit.
It'd be wicked.
Well, because all it is—it's just the Microsoft Sam voice, right? So you could just—he could get royalties.
I guess, Mike. What do you got for TV news? Because as I've already said, Alex has talked enough this episode.
I am hyper.
Well, I guess I could talk about the return of late night, and I guess that would be David Letterman is returning to our favorite streaming service, Netflix, for 6 episodes, which are going to feature in-depth episodes outside the studio. So evidently, for the last 2 years since we've been without The Late Show, which has been running with Stephen Colbert, David Letterman wants to come back for Netflix for 6 episodes and sometime in 2018. So basically, these are going to be long-form conversations he's going to have with a single guest. And they're going to explore topics outside of the studio. And they haven't revealed who these kind of guests are going to be just yet. But he said in a statement this past week, "I feel excited and lucky to be working on this project for Netflix. Here's what I've learned. If you retire to spend more time with your family, check with your family first. Thanks for watching. Drive safely." So the people that are producing this is Radical Media. They have done Hello on Broadway, Abstract the Art of Design, What Happened, Miss Simone, as well as Letterman's company, Worldwide Pants. So the chief content officer over at Netflix, Ted Sarandos, has said, "Just meeting David Letterman was a thrill. Imagine how exciting it is for me to announce that we will be working together. David Letterman is a true television icon, and I just can't wait to see him out in the wild, out from behind the desk and interviewing people that he finds most interesting. We'll have to see if he keeps the epic beard." Okay, I added the epic beard part. But he does say we'll have to see if he keeps the beard. So, Letterman, this guy's been around for over 6,000 episodes, over 33 years. Yeah. He's collected 52 Emmy nominations. He's won 10 of them. 2-time Peabody Award winner. He's got a career behind him. So I'll be very interested to see who he gets as guests for this.
Yeah. I'm the way you're describing it, the way the article describes this, I'm thinking of it as a more serious version of Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars with Coffee or whatever the hell that was.
Talking in Cars. Or...
Yeah. Whatever the Seinfeld show was that he did after the fact of his series being, after his NBC series about nothing went, you know.
I was thinking more akin to Inside the Actor Studio, but mixed with Zach Galifianakis's One Fern or whatever the hell it's called.
Okay.
I hope he gets more interesting people than just, you know, comedians or movie stars. I hope he talks to more politicians, stuff like that. I honestly think Barack Obama will probably be one of his guests. It would not surprise me, because I think him and Letterman got along pretty good. So, yeah, I want to see him talk to interesting people who have something to say. And given that it's only six episodes, I don't see a lot of people. I don't see, say, Jennifer Lawrence going on there to promote her latest rom-com.
No, and again, that's what, like, that's not what the Netflix stuff is for, and that's what Seth Meyers and Colbert and Kimmel and Fallon are for. I mean, that's what those people are for. And
actually, I want to get him and Jon Stewart together.
Oh, God.
That I would pay money for. They would be interesting, especially if you got... Actually, it wouldn't surprise me if one of Letterman's guests is Colbert. To say, all right, you've had my show for 3 years now. What are you doing to my baby? Sort of thing.
Has it really been 3 years since Colbert has done the show?
It's been
really?
2 years, but by the time...
Okay, but yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I'm very curious.
I don't think I've seen a single episode since Colbert took over.
I saw like the first couple of them, but not...
I watch the monologue every day.
Like, I've had no interest in any late night show except for John Oliver's one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched John Oliver. I watched this one. I watched Trevor Noah depending on the news of the day because it's so hard to find up here and I don't have a subscription through iTunes for it. So.
Well, I tried the Netflix one, was it Chelsea Handler, and she is just impossible to listen to. She's so annoying.
Dumpster fire.
Yeah, and they tried doing a daily show, right, with mm-hmm. her, and yep. I don't know,
that didn't work.
No, because she's terrible. She's not funny. Yeah, but people will defend her saying she's not funny, not even remotely, and she's like didn't understand anything about her guests. I don't know.
Oh, so she's not even well informed, but not funny.
No, not well informed, not funny, but has her people that clap and go, yes, 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 you're funny. I don't know.
I don't know word one about her, truthfully.
Oh, try watching an episode. It's like watching paint dry.
That's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
So, Big Hero 7. Oh, wait. No, that's not happening. So, what's going on with Big Hero 6, Alex?
Well, more TV shows being made. I don't know about you guys, but I really liked the movie when it came out.
I thought it was cool.
It was fantastic.
I saw it and I went, there's a character I could cosplay as naturally. I just need a white sweater, white pants. Disney XD is creating a Big Hero 6 TV show. Nothing much more to say about that except that I'm very happy.
I'm so hyped for this. I mean, I was really sad when they canceled Tron Uprising, but the fact that they're giving another one of their properties a chance to shine like this, I think, could be tremendously cool. I'm actually really surprised they never based a series on Pirates of the Caribbean, just the Adventures of Jack Sparrow. Well, that could be really cool. If you did it like Fox's Peter Pan and the Pirates and have it set in the days before Jack lost the Black Pearl, him and Captain Barbossa, that could be really entertaining TV, especially if it was aimed at, like, you know, that audience that would like Big Hero 6.
But that's if they had done it 10 years ago.
Yeah. The series isn't as relevant now.
Far too late. But this one, the smart thing, looking at the art style, it doesn't look cheap. It's in a different art style. It's obviously not a high budget 3D rendered show, but they didn't go a cheap route either, so it looks good, which is always good because it could be really bad. Like, I've seen some really bad adapted shows, and this doesn't look like college kids made it. Let's just say that.
Have they announced any of the voice cast for it?
I'm scrolling through multiple things, and I haven't seen anything particular. Just the teaser.
Speaking of shows that were adapted, has anybody here watched the new DuckTales yet?
Yeah, I refuse.
No, I hear it's tremendous,
dude. It's not what it used to be, but it's pretty much like a giant homage to the old show. I was very skeptical about it. Okay, so here's the thing, Alex. They did the shorts. They started the Disney XD channel here on YouTube and in the States started putting out the shorts things. You know how they do those, and that turned me off to it. But after I've seen the full 42-minute episode, because it's basically two giant cartoons put back to back, it's actually really, really good, and they pay homage to almost every bit of the old series, including other parts of the Disney Afternoon.
Don't they reference Saint Canard and Cape Suzette?
Yep. They reference Saint Canard, Cape Suzette. They reference, I think, even Bonkers, whatever the hell Bonkers Town was.
And Goofy City, don't they name it too?
Yeah, they pretty much name everything. I was skeptical on more so the three nephews. I was kind of skeptical on Tennant as Scrooge. I get it. Everybody loves Tennant because Doctor Who and all that. Well, that's not my thing. I liked him in Jessica Jones, and being so used to the old Scrooge voice, I think with the new cast that is in this show, Tennant's voice works very well. I'm not sure, because I haven't looked it up, I'm not sure who is actually doing Donald's voice. I don't think it's the original voice actor from the old days. I could be wrong. Again, I'm not looking at it at the moment, but it's actually I actually stopped watching Star Trek IV to watch the episode of DuckTales.
I'll give it a go. It's just, David Tennant, it's bugging me too much. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah, but...
And they have this thing that a lot of these newer shows have where it sounds like they're too close to the mics when they're talking. It doesn't sound like it's coming from the characters.
Okay, yeah.
Like, their audio engineering just doesn't sound good. I don't mind the animation style. I wasn't a fan of... They should just use the original song.
Okay, so let's talk about this.
A quick aside, it is the same guy for Donald Duck.
Okay, good. That's what I'm pretty sure I thought it was, but I wasn't sure.
Back to the asking about the cast of Big Hero 6, the two main characters, Baymax and Hero, are the same voice actors that did the movie.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then they've got Alan Tudyk in there and some other people. Stan Lee's in there too, so.
Well, of course Stan Lee's in there. I mean, Stan Lee's got to be in everything, you know. So the theme song, there have been a lot of themes in the last few years that were originally a male singing voice that have switched to a female singing voice, like from Full House to Fuller House, from DuckTales to DuckTales. This one, because it's like I actually went back and listened to the old theme song and then listened to this one. And I actually compared them side by side. And while I still love the original, I understand what they're going for with this one. It's not...
Life is like a hurricane. dream.
It's never going to be what it was. They're trying to give us something that, you know, reminds us of what the old show was, at the same time giving us new adventures and everything else. Like, the whole story in this first episode, and again, folks, hopefully we can embed this. I can embed this in the episode post, so people can just watch it on, you know, on the YouTube channel from Disney XD. Be warned, though, apparently
it doesn't work in Canada.
Okay, there you go.
Which is stupid, but I understand why, because licensing agreements. So
okay, so Alex, you can't even watch it unless you find other ways. But
I'll
anyway.
Pirate. I'm not paying to watch that show.
Wow,
if I had cable, I would totally do it.
Yeah, but it is very good. It was better than I thought it was going to be. And there are a lot of fun lines in that first episode, and I cannot believe that that first special is 42 minutes. I was not expecting a 42-minute DuckTale episode, and it was very, very well done.
Now I just have to hope they get the reboots for Darkwing Duck underway and Goof Troop.
As long as
Max be old enough to have his own kid now.
I want gargoyles.
Yeah, a new gargoyles series would be pretty sick.
Yeah.
And they should use the same studio that does the Voltron show.
DreamWorks?
I don't think it's DreamWorks that actually, like, whatever's doing the animation for that.
I think it's DreamWorks.
Yeah, that's DreamWorks.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there's in-house Disney's people that can do it, so. But whatever.
Yeah.
Point taken.
It's, yeah, the Voltron show on Netflix is a DreamWorks production, because DreamWorks they don't own World Events, but they've bought out the license for them. So, but yeah, no, just try to check it out. I'm right there with you, Alex. It isn't the old show. It isn't this. It isn't that. But, you know, they
it's
do.
It's so weird to hear Mike saying, have an open mind about something.
I know, right?
I know. Holy, what dimension is this?
Because what I found after watching this is that it's centered around more of a family mystery than anything else. They give little hints and nods to Scrooge's past. Like, they basically, I hate to say this, I hate to compare it to this, because this is just awful. They kind of set it up like The Dark Knight Rises, where Scrooge has been retired for so long from adventuring. And they basically make fun of him for being an old man and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. Well, with dropping the nephews off, that makes him want to do the adventuring again. And that's what kind of sets it up. And this special ends on such a cliffhanger where it's like, holy crap, really? Why did that happen? Because I don't think we've ever had an explanation for this. I don't think DuckTales, the classic DuckTales show, ever had an explanation of Scrooge and Donald having the nephews. Like, where are their parents, that kind of thing. And damn it if this show doesn't.
If they try to answer that question, that might be kind of cool.
Okay, I got it.
Well.
I'm sold.
A murder mystery in the... No, they're probably just be missing. But still, that's cool, though.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we are going to grab our video game controllers because it's time for some
video game news.
All right, Tristan, what do you got?
It's my turn to talk.
Oh, I guess. Sorry.
Oh, shit. All right, sorry, I wasn't prepared for this. All right, so No Man's Sky. It's a little game that some people may have heard of. It came out about 1 year ago after being hyped up for months and months of being an incredible game with infinite possibilities. The general concept is, if you're not aware, you are in the galaxy. You're in some random planet somewhere in the galaxy, and it's your job to repair your ship and then travel amongst the stars from world to world and find all these crazy, infinitely procedurally generated worlds and explore the universe while making your way to the center of the galaxy. It was promised to be this incredible title with so much depth and so much to do and basically infinite content, and then it came out and it just sucked.
It was horseshit! Say it like it is!
It's just crap, and everything was bland, everything was the same, all the planets, although they were all procedurally generated, they were all basically identical, it was boring, and there was nothing to do. Now, since then, they've come out with several updates, the most recent one being their patch 1.3 Atlas Rises, in which they've added a whole bunch of new content, they've added training between star systems, there's new missions, there's 30 hours of story, and there's even a very kind of Dark Souls-esque multiplayer aspect now. You can't actually see other players, but you can leave them messages, and you can see a sort of ghostly image of where they are in the game, and when you're close enough to them, you can actually talk over voice communications. So they've laid down some framework that could bring the game up to where it was promised originally, but it's taken them over a year to get there. Now, it makes me want to talk about hype and how hype affects games and how hype affects gamers. And a game like No Man's Sky that gets hyped up for months, everyone's expectations goes through the roof. And then the game comes out, it's not what they're delivered, and everyone's super disappointed. It can bankrupt a small indie developer, and it can break the trust of gamers for larger developers.
They shouldn't have been going on shows like Colbert hyping up the game before. Like, there was a huge thread on Reddit that laid out every promise they made and every promise they broke. Like, you're absolutely right. Hype can make or break a game. In this case, like, I think the studio is called Hello Games, right?
Yeah.
After the game came out last year, they went silent on Twitter for like 2 or 3 months. Because people were just going after them left, right, and center. And I think the game's player base, I know I saw this, I want to say it was on ETC or Machinima, or not Machinima, on Rooster Teeth or something. I think the worldwide player base is something like less than 12,000 right now.
Well, it brings up the question if you are in any other field advertising something, basically false advertising, you can get your money back and sue. It's video games seem to be the only media where you can't get your money back for being lied to.
A lot of people did get their money back for this game, surprisingly.
Through Steam, but not from PlayStation.
PlayStation was issuing refunds for this game if you bought it digitally.
Digitally only, right? Like, but the physical release is the big thing. Like, it's like in this case, that company should be punished. Shouldn't exist anymore, and the people that worked on it, at least in marketing, should never have a job again, because you can't lie like that.
I think there was a case in Britain, in Britain against them for false advertising, but I don't recall the outcome of that particular court case.
It's probably still in litigation. It could take a couple of years, but in this particular case, like, I've not played the game. I don't plan on playing it, but they shouldn't exist as a company, because you can't go I've seen the list of things that they promised and things that they actually delivered, and it's not a complete game. It's not the game they sold people on, so they shouldn't exist. They shouldn't be allowed to have a second game.
No, and I think that a lot of the reason that video games are so unique in this aspect is all the legalities of what video games are and what owning, and I use those same invisible air quotes here, a video game really is. And that's owning the license to play it, owning the opportunity to play their game. They still own it. So technically, they haven't sold you the game. They've sold you the license. There's so many loopholes that they can keep running in circles around to prevent themselves from being litigated against.
I mean, if you guys remember several years ago, in terms of a game being sold to us that wasn't what we were promised, think back to Gearbox and Aliens Colonial Marines. This is a very similar case, because this wasn't
Two Humans.
Yeah, or Two Human, which, to at least Two Humans' credit, they really tried. But Gearbox, flat out, they changed everything.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
But yeah, I mean, I don't think I don't think Hello Games deserves fire and fury, so to speak. But they definitely should be punished for what they did. But the fact that they're keeping the game updated with content, they didn't just abandon their baby after the first couple of months, that says something to me about them as a company. That they're willing to try, all right, you paid money to this for this experience. We're going to try our best to keep delivering on that experience because there's no reason for them to keep doing it. Well, they're doing it for their community.
They're doing it now because if they don't, they'll never have a chance at another game.
Well, yeah, which means they want to win back their community. Well,
unfortunately, they won't, but they should. At this point, you should just grab whoever was in the marketing team, bring them out into the field somewhere, and hang them.
Really, I feel like that's
man,
what a lot of it is.
Man, never piss you off, man.
The marketing team is responsible for so much of what happened. The developers themselves, all the coders and all the artists, I'm sure they were doing their best to make a game they were proud of, but they were likely pushed by deadlines, and everything came down to the wire, and one side was making promises that they could not deliver on. There was no way for them to be able to make these systems in the game and have them working properly in the time frame they were given. And now that they've had a year of the game being out and mostly out of the limelight, they've been able to work on this and improve things. And that's credit to those people. It's just now the game is tarnished forever. There's going to be a huge potential fan base lost forever because the game was complete garbage at the start.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that community, it's never going to come back. There will always be hardcore supporters of it. I know I have a few on my friends list, which boggles the mind. But hey, if they're willing to keep the game updated to try and please those few people they have, that says something to me.
And you know what? I won't lie. I saw the game on Steam 60% off yesterday. I bought it. I want to see where it's gone. I want to see what's happened with it. I want to give it an honest try now. It was hugely hyped up a year ago. I really wanted it then, but I decided to wait, and I'm glad I did. But now that it was heavily discounted and they've updated it quite a bit, maybe it's worth my time now.
I got it from Sony last year. I played the game for 24 hours, and I sold it immediately. I had such a terrible time. Like, I had so many bad starts in that game. It was ridiculous.
Well, let's see what a difference a year makes, and we'll have Tristan give an update on this next week.
All right, yes, fair
I'll
enough.
Be happy
That's
to
cool.
review it for you.
Cool.
And I think this episode should be called BVA, Big Villain Alex, because, oh my God, dude, what is wrong with you this week?
I'm cranky and I want to hang man. People.
Clearly.
Eat a Snickers bar, hang people, same thing.
Because I was in Brampton. That city sucks.
And you were so excited to go.
I was happy to take a bus ride. I was happy. No, because I wanted to go to the big mall. And I went to Five Guys and Fries. It was good.
Oh, you went to Bramley City Center.
Yes. So, yes, I kind of did take a 2-hour round trip to go get French fries and a hamburger. But
I've done worse. Hey, I've done 9 hours.
Hey, I went to California, damn it. For In-N-Out and Five Guys. So yeah, there is that. It's time for some more
random news notes.
All right, folks, we've got a couple of trailers that we're going to talk about, and then I've got the guy who invented the password story. So first up, Alex gave us the Bad Blood TV series trailer. This looks fairly interesting. I like Anthony LaPaglia.
It looks interesting. It looks like it could be hilariously terrible, or it could be hilariously good.
Mm-mm.
If that makes sense. Either way, it's going to be hilarious because it doesn't look... Okay, for anybody that doesn't know, it's a Canadian TV show. I think it's going to air on CTV up here. It's probably going to show up on Netflix or CBS, like, late nights or something in the States. And it's about the mob in Montreal. And you've got some familiar faces in there. Paul Sorvino. What's his name there? You said from... What show was he on?
Anthony LaPaglia, he was on Without a Trace, and yeah. he was Joe in Empire Records, the guy who owned the record store in the old Empire Records movie. That's who that guy is.
Honestly, before I watched it, I saw the name, and my first thought was, oh, it's the dude from 7 Days, but it's his brother. So,
no, 7 Days was Jonathan LaPaglia. That's his son.
Is that his son?
Yeah.
Really?
I think that's his son, yeah. I think they're father and son, pretty much, yeah.
Either way, a bunch of other Canadian character actors. What's his name from Flashpoint and Just Shoot Me, the bald guy? Paul Sorvino. Yeah. I don't know. If you give the trailer a watch, throw it in the show notes. It looks interesting. It looks cheap. It looks like cheap Canadian programming. This doesn't look like Flashpoint. This doesn't look like 192, the cop show. It doesn't look like some of the really high budget shows we have here. But it looks like it could be a whole lot of fun to have a few drinks and then watch people in the French mob kill each other in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah, you're right. They are brothers. I thought they were father and son because Jonathan always looked too much younger than Anthony to me. But yeah, you're right. They're brothers. Oh well.
Still.
And then we have the final Adam West Batman project, Batman versus Two-Face, the sequel to Batman and Robin Return of the Caped Crusaders, where we've got William Shatner as Two-Face. We've got Captain Kirk as Two-Face. That just blows my mind.
Interesting casting, to say the least.
Yeah. Especially since I'm going through all the original TOS films and, like, wow, that just blows my mind.
So I'm wondering if, like, the two personalities are Captain Kirk and T.J. Hooker.
That could be. Any reaction to... Did you guys watch the Batman Two-Face trailer? I hope.
I did not.
Of course you did.
I'm watching it right now.
Okay. Live reaction, folks!
Yeah, I'm watching.
I just like hearing Adam West.
I'm just happy we got one more Batman project out of him.
Yeah, I'm just... It's playing an ad right now, but I'm just hoping he didn't sound really old or sick.
No, he didn't. He sounded
sort of like he does on Family Guy.
Yeah, I'm getting that Adam West Family Guy vibe.
Yeah.
Did you see the tribute that Fox put together for Adam West?
All his best moments, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. As much as I don't like Family Guy, it would have been a treat to write the weirdness for Adam West.
Yeah.
Because he must have loved that. Because, like, the moment I remember the clearest is where he's playing with a light bright. He doesn't have enough to spell his name. He's like, what if my name really is Adam Wee? Curses! And he starts yelling at the light bright, and I think he shoots it or something. It was just ridiculous. Or where he has this cat cannon and he chases a burglar away shooting cats at him. God, it sounds stupid to say out loud, but it's Adam West, and that's what made it so funny, because it worked.
Okay, I saw the trailer, and it looks like they made Two-Face look like Shatner back when he was in, like, the Twilight Zone episodes before Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yep.
It looks like it's literally modeled after him when he was in his 20s.
That's cool.
That's awesome, yeah. You know, I'll say this for Return of the Caped Crusaders. I liked that first Batman movie because, you know, the first Adam West, Burt Ward animated movie, but it was too long and it had too many false endings to me. It just, like, I got to a point where in the movie where I'm like, okay, so that's it. The story's over. They're going to end it. Nope, we got more for you. And I'm like, oh, come on. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the new Batman versus Two-Face animated film as well. And then, as I said, the guy who invented the rules for the passwords says he's sorry. I'm not even going to go through this whole article. He just apologizes. And what I want to focus on is the ending of the article. Simple math shows that shorter password with wacky characters is much easier to crack than a long string of easy-to-remember words. This classic XKCD comic shows how four simple words can create a passphrase that would take a computer 550 years to guess, while a nonsensical string of random characters would take approximately 3 days. Yeah, no!
All my passwords are huge. Good luck. Yep. Please don't try. like somewhere in the neighborhood of like 60 characters. I mean, I know, Alex, you've seen me type in my password. It takes me like a full minute.
There's like five penis words in there.
yeah, the here's the thing, folks. You know, create a password you're going to remember, but don't make it too easy for everybody else to figure it out. The thing for mine is I have to at least have 4 capital letters and at least 5 different numbers in there somewhere. So that's usually how I...
So it's just TFG1 over and over and over again?
No.
TFG1, TJ Hooker.
No.
Knight Rider.
No.
TFG1 Kit with the...
No.
TFG1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes,
no, it's just, no, it's just password, all capitals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No.
It would still take that computer a long time to crack it, though.
I use various phrases or lines from various things that no one will ever get. And maybe 1 or 2 people might eventually understand it. So, yeah.
All my passwords. Fan 24.
All my passwords come from Jurassic Park erotica.
And speaking of erotica, all porn stars' lives matter. Mike, what do you got?
Oh, my God. So one of my favorite ex-porn stars in the world, Mia Khalifa, she is so beautiful. So she is a huge fan of anything Washington, especially the NBA team. So recently, NBA 2K released some of their stats for some of the Washington Wizards players. So Mia Khalifa decided to tweet to the digital marketing director, Ronnie 2K, on Twitter. And she's like, "Hey, man, you up?" And he's like, "Yeah, you always am." And she replies, "I want you to play me in horse, and I want you to change this player's stats from a 90 to a 93. And he's like, "Nah, man, I can't do that." She's like, "All right, tell you what. I'll let you touch," and these are her words, "I'll let you touch my titties." And he's like, "No, the rating is more sacred." Her final reply, a lot of 14-year-olds in Brazil would disagree. Take the titties and change the rating. This was back on August 8th. When this all went down,
I don't understand.
What's her favorite player to have a higher stat rating in the game?
God,
that's amazing. Like, all right, please play me in horse. No, touch my boobs instead. Take the tits for the love of God. I mean, you know, it's no different than going to the Rippers, and she's giving consent. Come on! It's just you changing a number in game code, but I can understand if the game's already gone gold. But still, you can fix that with a patch, goddammit. I don't know. I just think that's amazingly funny. And I've seen porn stars that are like video game nuts tweet at their favorite people. I know one porn star that I follow is a huge Mass Effect fan, I think, and I've seen her tweet at the official BioWare account and stuff like that. Hell, I've even seen some porn stars tweet at the official D&D accounts for like rule changes and stuff like that. So porn stars
Double
are people
D&D.
That's oh my God. Actually, I think I try to remember what their podcast is called. Oh, it escapes me right now, but it is an entertaining listen to.
Is it D and Double D?
I think it's just called Porn Stars and D&D. I know they have an Instagram.
I thought I was being clever.
I think I need to talk louder.
But still, these people, they're fun. But just the fact that Mia Khalifa offered up her body to change digital game code, I think is actually kind of funny. But unfortunately, like I said, the guy did not take the bait, and a lot of disappointed 14-year-olds around the world. And I am not 14, but I'm also disappointed.
And then some moron wants to buy Rick and Morty's juice. Ugh.
What's wrong with Szechuan sauce?
For $15,000? No, thank you.
Hey, man, if you're rich as hell and you got the money to blow, why the hell not? Hell, it turns out somebody, even Deadmau5 was in the bidding war for this. Yeah, so someone paid just over $15,000. I'd love to tell you the story, but my browser froze. But I know it's not enough offhand. So recently, in Rick and Morty Season 3, the first episode, Rick really wants McDonald's Szechuan sauce, and he went to a dimension where it's permanently 1998. So McDonald's had their chefs create three or five bottles of the Szechuan sauce, and they sent a bottle to Rick and Morty creator Justin Roiland, and then they sent three bottles out to fans who retweeted a specific tweet. So one guy decided to sell his bottle, donate some of the proceeds to charity, and take care of some of his bills. So as of the story's recording, like I said, somebody had won it for $15,000, but they hadn't heard yet from the buyer. Now, it's a little logical to conclude that if the guy doesn't pay up, it'll go to the next person in line, which is dead mouse. And that guy's not hurting for money. So, but still, just the fact that Szechuan sauce was able to trend on Twitter, there were people who were getting a friend of mine got banned from a McDonald's for going through the drive-thru just after the episode aired, going, yeah, I'll take an order of 10 McNuggets and Szechuan sauce. And they're like, you're the 15th asshole today. Please stop. You are banned, sir.
But that sauce, Morty, that sauce, it's so good.
So delicious.
And I'll go out and I'll find some more of that Mulan Szechuan teriyaki dipping sauce, Morty. Because that's what this is all about, Morty. That's my one-armed man. I'm not driven by avenging my dead family, Morty. That was fake. I'm driven by finding that McNugget sauce. I want that Mulan McNugget sauce, Morty. That's my series arc, Morty. If it takes 9 seasons, I want my McNugget dipping sauce Szechuan sauce, Morty. That's what's going to take us all the way to the end, Morty. Season 9 more seasons, Morty. 9 more seasons until I get that dipping Szechuan sauce for 97 more years, Morty. I want that McNugget.
But still, the fact that a television show got this trending and they were able to convince the McDonald's chefs to create 3 or 5 of these giant ass bottles. I think it's like 64 ounces. So you've got enough sauce to last you for like a year and change, providing you're not eating it every day.
Like, how long is it good for? Does that stuff expire?
You probably have to keep it in the fridge.
Yeah. See, I don't know. Certain condiments don't expire, but would you really trust 30-year-old honey?
Well, it's sugar, so the sauce isn't good for you, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, one step at a time, Alex. So someone out there paid $15,000 for Szechuan sauce.
Well, it's really good.
Still delicious. It's still. And Rick and Morty has now become my new favorite show of all time. I've been obsessively watching that show for like the past 3 or 4 days. I've just started season 2. I've even got Blair into it, and Blair does not like weird, fucked up humor. But now we actually bought Wiley a toy mouse. We've called Mr. Meeseeks, and Blair will peek around the corner and go, Mr. Meeseeks, look at me, or I just want to die, stuff like that. So it's taken over our household in a very weird way.
You said she doesn't like what kind of humor?
Fucked up humor. Like, she doesn't mind South Park, she doesn't like Family Guy, yet Rick and Morty, she saw the episode where what was it? Not the Cronenberg episode, but she saw the Mr. Meeseeks episode and the one where Rick throws a house party. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, this is right up my alley. This is totally Mike, whatever you're watching, just go right ahead. So we'll have Rick and Morty dates.
Because I was going to say, as far as I've known you in the last 10 years, your personality is nothing but fucked up humor. Why is she married to you if she doesn't like it?
Which is weird because she's all this. She is the fucking Disney Channel. and now she's like, oh, I'm going to punch that guy right in his dick hole.
I blame me for probably introducing her to stuff when I came by and I showed you those Russian videos.
Oh, yeah.
The Russian music videos.
That was a turning point for sure.
She sings the songs.
At least once a day. At least once a day, we play this music video called Little Big, and I think the song is just called My Dick is Big, and it's hilarious, and the song is oddly catchy. This album's called Funeral Rave. Check it out on iTunes, folks. It's surprisingly entertaining.
Alrighty then. We want to thank everyone for joining the Nerd News Universe.
My dick is very big. It's big.
Sorry. Oh, God.
And next time, hopefully, Tristan can, you know, fire off his shotgun a little more, because he only got one story this week.
We are going to tape our boy.
I feel so muted.
I'm so sorry, dude.
You got a story right now? Go.
My dick is big.
That's follow up.
Where can the people find you online, Alex?
The long story.
Twitter at Gravy Moose. That's about
Tristan.
At Tristopher, TRISTIFER.
Mike.
On Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Birdman Dodd, and also on Discord. You can find me on there as well, which I've taken up the chatting on there as well.
Mm-hmm. I am at TF2 and Mike on Twitter. Thank you for joining us here on Twig's Nerd News Network. Join us next time to hear Alex say
something offensive, you know it.
And Tristan says
something about Pop-Tarts and whatnot.
Shotguns and whatnot. Mike says,
"Our dick is big. His dick is very big. His
I'm
dick
sorry,
is
guys.
Big. Look at what you've started."
And I just try to keep the train rolling here, folks. So we
just
will
skip with the hanging.
We got to put the music video in here now so people can see it.
So
how are people going to see it? They're listening to audio, you
wait,
doofus.
Should the episode like art be just a field with a noose and hanging those people?
Oh my god.
For a game I didn't even buy or care about.
Interesting. I'll have to see what I can do with that. Yeah. So, we'll be back with all the news you nerds want to know next week here on This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network.
That's not helping.
Are you sure you don't have another curse word in there somewhere that you want to say before we start this?
But
fuck!
Says. All right, I'm good now.
Okay.
Hi, Kat. How are you?
Your neighbors must hate you, dude.
Well, let's ask that neighbor. Do you hate him?
I didn't really hear that one.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
They're checking to make sure you didn't die.
She's like, "Are you okay? Don't scare me."
That's the new closing of the show.
Blanchard dies.
You need to send your wife a text before you do things like that again.
I'm going to scream fuck. Be ready.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit? Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it.
I have seen the mountaintops and they are glorious.
You can go to sleep on top of them and be comfy.
Wait. Say that again, slowly.
Tristan, Andrew, Donald, William, Winkworth.
It's a good thing you're not British, because you would almost be entitled to a crown.
Insert offensive item right here.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm not putting them up to it. They just keep talking about me.
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.